Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome. It's so great to have you with us, and thank you for coming out on a Saturday night. It's wonderful to see you all, so many of you on this Saturday evening. And for those of you that don't know, we are celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles tonight and tomorrow. It's a little different than normal. Normally we actually go quite a few nights, but this year I felt that we should just do the 2 days. Tomorrow I'll continue with the series on the Holy Spirit, but a lot of it has to do with what the Holy Spirit does when He abides in us, which will be, you know, really powerful, I believe. And, you know, so tonight we're going to be talking a little bit about tabernacles. You know, the first thing I want to say, for those of you that are maybe new to understanding or learning or wondering why we celebrate the feasts, well, the Bible tells us that the feasts are the feasts of the Lord and that we will celebrate them forever. They are forever His feasts, which means that if they belong to Him, that I want to partake in them. Is that okay? One of the things that when it comes to the feasts that we always remember is the Bible tells us that a feast, what it really means is it means a set time. It means a specific set time. That's what the word feast really means in the Hebrew. And so we know that in our calendar, we have set times. We celebrate things like the 4th of July. Some people celebrate other things. We celebrate all kinds of different things in our calendar. God also has specific times where He wants to meet with us. Specific times where He wants us to remember the things that He has done. And so the same way that we come together as family and we celebrate, for example, Thanksgiving, every year families come together all over the United States, you know, specifically in this country, and we come together and we eat turkey, you know, we have a great time, and we're thankful to God for what He's done and for the freedom that we have, and we think of those things. Well, the feasts work the same way. Really what it is we remember the things that God has done. And there are several feasts in Scripture, but three that we really focus on. The one is Pentecost, the other is Passover, and then Tabernacles. And Tabernacles is a really powerful feast because Scripture in the book of Zechariah actually tells us that the feasts of the Lord will be celebrated even in the millennium reign, which is when Jesus Christ will rule on the earth for 1,000 years. If you're sitting there going, what on earth does that mean? Don't worry, in January or end of January, beginning of February, we'll do a whole series on the book of Revelation, and we will talk about the 1,000-year millennium, where we will be on the earth with the Lord Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. You thought when you died it was all over. It's only the beginning. God's got great things in store for you and I, amen? You see, when you're not saved, you are the walking dead. People think the walking dead is that movie about zombies on television, which is so evil you shouldn't watch it, okay? But really, the walking dead is what you are when you're not saved, because you're dying. But when you get saved, you come alive. You actually become born again, the Bible tells us. And so you start living at that moment. And just like when you are born, when you're small, you get born again and it's like a whole new beginning. And so it's an exciting journey that you go on. And God desperately wants you when you get born again to begin to seek Him, to begin to desire Him, to draw close to Him, find out how awesome He really is and the plans He has for you. That's the kind of God that we serve. So tonight's sermon, what I'm going to do this evening is I'm going to teach you one thing out of Tabernacles that they celebrate and show you how it ties into Jesus and how it was prophesied about Jesus, and see how the Pharisees rejected Him. And there's many Pharisees today as well that also reject Him. Amen. And we're going to talk about that and see what the Lord wants to do. So the message is entitled, Out of Darkness. The message is entitled, Out of Darkness. And so during the Feast of Tabernacles, Pastor John shared with you that what the children of Israel would do is they would set up booths in the wilderness. And they would celebrate God's deliverance out of Egypt, and they would also celebrate their provision that God had provided for them, the way He provided for them in the wilderness. And it was a time of sort of separation. Families would be together and they would go into these booths that they would set up, and they would actually go, and the idea would be to tabernacle with God, to spend time with God. And many years later, they would begin to add more and more different types of traditions to the feasts. And one of the traditions, one of the things they added was what we call the illumination of the temple. And so you can imagine that the temple in Israel, specifically, I'll give you an example of that temple, because that was the last one that existed that's now a mosque in Jerusalem. There's a mosque right there where the tabernacle used to be. And so right there at the tabernacle, there's an area called the court of the woman, which is the outer courts. And what would happen was every year, what would happen is they would fill up these massive lampstands. And if I say massive, I mean they were really, really giant lampstands. And they would fill them with oil, and then they would light these lampstands. And it would be a time of celebrating God's light. And the way that God provided for them in the wilderness, the way that he was a pillar of light, of fire, and that fire was a light for them in the wilderness. But at the same time, they would also use this as a time of great joy. So you can imagine in Jerusalem, what would happen was they would have these huge lampstands with all this light that would literally light up the entire city. And then the people would come, and especially the priests and those that would really study the word, they would come and they would dance, and they would have a joyful time, and they would praise the Lord because of what he had did for them and brought them into the promised land, and they were celebrating all of that. And then at the same time, they would also celebrate what was to come, which was that the light of the world would eventually come, that the Messiah would eventually come. They would celebrate this, that darkness would eventually leave. There would be a release from bondage, and there would be a restoration of joy. that for fun in the beginning. I actually had purpose. See, the truth is, when you don't know Jesus, you are dead. You are sitting in the shadow of death. You have no hope. But Jesus came as the Messiah. You see, it's so important that the fulfillment of Scripture is correct. The book of Isaiah is perfect, describing a light that would come into the world in talking in a language that the children of Israel would understand, because he knew that they celebrated the pillar of fire, which illuminated where they were in the wilderness, that they began to celebrate a light that would come and cause a final deliverance, because remember, they were already delivered. But they were under an oppression at the time. Now, when they were in Jerusalem, and Jesus was the one who was going to come and set them completely free. You see, you can be set free. You can be set free from your Egypt and still be in bondage. So you might have been delivered, but you're still living in bondage. You haven't fully embraced that light yet. You haven't surrendered yourself to him yet. And maybe you haven't even recognized him sometimes. And that can be difficult. Let's be honest. Nobody wants to see God do something and then you look at it and go, I don't think it's God, but it is. Right? Nobody wants that. We all want to discern correctly. I want to discern correctly. Thank you for that very silent amen from each and every one of you. At least there was a lot of you. I'm very glad. But let's go a little further. I want you to see something. And then he says in verse 17, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And this is so powerful, because you'll find out that this is without doubt one of the most taught messages that Jesus did. He preached this message over and over everywhere he went. And I want you to see something, that when he comes and he brings this message of the kingdom, it's always beginning with repenting. You see, when we see the word repent, we have a negative connotation to it. We connect it negatively, like now we have to beat ourselves up. Listen, it's wonderful if you repent and you really mean business with God and you're broken. That's a wonderful thing. It's a good thing to do that. But you see, what really the word repent means is to change your mind. Change your mind. Go the other direction. Go in an opposite direction. You see, because what's happening is you've been walking in darkness. You've been walking in darkness, surrounded by darkness, walking in oppression, walking in fear, walking by all kinds of the things of this world. And Jesus comes and says, listen, repent. In other words, turn away from it. Turn away from that, because I'm going to give you a better way. He says, I'm going to give you the kingdom. The kingdom of God is at hand. You're going to operate out of something different. You're going to be affected by something different. The fact of the matter is that when he was on earth, he was the kingdom. Jesus was the kingdom. How do you know? Because whatever he touched got healed. Whatever he ministered to got delivered. Wherever he went, people changed. That's the presence of the kingdom. Are you with me? He was the kingdom. The kingdom of God is at hand. What he's saying is, I have arrived. But the religious people would have freaked out to an even more worse dimension than the last one if he had done that from the beginning. So what he was trying to do was just to let them understand, listen, what you've been waiting for is here, but it's not the way you think. Because you see, I'm not going to come and set you free from the outside, because from the outside, you're a problem. We've got to start where it counts, on the inside. And when we work on the inside, we'll change you. And then it'll change you on the outside. And then your expression will be different. Are you with me, guys? He is the light of the world. In the Feast of Tabernacles, they celebrate with light, not knowing that the light has already come. Let's go back to Isaiah 9. Don't worry, I'm not going to be too much longer. Isaiah 9, verse number 2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, you see all the scriptures lining up. Watch this. Upon them, a light has shined. Now, you must understand, this is prophetic. The prophet is speaking about the future. You sit there and you think, oh, this is Jesus, obviously. But do you know that people can't see it? They cannot see it because they've been blinded. But you see it because you know, because you've heard, because you've seen. You know the story of Jesus. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. You see, the Feast of Tabernacle was a time of joy. Before you, according to the joy of the harvest, the Feast of Tabernacle is a time of harvest. As men rejoiced when they divide the spoil, for you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. And I love this because this tells you something very important. You see, we know the story of Gideon and the Midianites. And what ends up happening with the story of Gideon and the Midianites is that Gideon ends up taking a very small army of around 300 men to fight an absolutely impossible battle. And so what the Bible wants you to know is that there is a light coming into the world that will be like that battle. That battle, it will be only something that you don't expect. It's not going to require a whole army. It's not going to require anything natural. It's going to require something supernatural. Just like Gideon, just like they defeated the Midianites, so there will be one who will come. He will be the light. He will destroy the darkness. For every warrior's sandals from the noisy battle and the garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. Now watch, verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I told you you'd recognize the scripture. But did you ever realize what was just before that scripture? Did you ever realize that the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is the light of this world? You see, many of us walk around in darkness, even though we have been delivered. We walk around in darkness, not recognizing that we have the light present with us. And you must understand that the government is upon his shoulder. In other words, listen, everything has already been done. The enemy has already been defeated. Listen. Many scholars want to suggest that when scripture says, whatsoever things you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatsoever things you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And what they're saying is that really what it's saying, what they're trying to say, and I agree to some degree, is what they're saying is that everything that has been bound has already been bound in heaven. And everything that is loosed has already been loosed in heaven. And I love that actually more than anything else, because the truth is that every demon spirit has already been defeated. Every force of darkness has already been defeated. Every darkness that comes against you has already been defeated. Now take the word of God, take the light of life, and speak it against every form of darkness that comes against you. Come against every plan of the enemy that comes against you. You have the right to say, devil, I bind you in Jesus' name, because you have already been bound. You have already been defeated. You are already under his feet in the mighty name of Jesus. The light of the world is now living inside you and I. Hallelujah. All right, let's give the Lord a clap. Come on. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. We worship you. You see, one of the things I love about this particular feast is that it also comes around a new year. It also comes around what we call the Day of Atonement, which was just a few days ago. See, it's the end of the year and it's a beginning, it's a new beginning. That's what it represents. And so on the Day of Atonement, it's the day that the atonement for sins was done. How many of you know we've already had the King of Kings come and atone all our sins? Amen? And now it's the beginning of the Feast of Tabernacles, which actually starts on Monday. And here we are celebrating what Jesus has already done for us. But we allow ourselves to be overwhelmed by the things of this world because of our feelings. When we don't recognize that everything we need has already been provided to us, the light has already come, and there's no darkness in Him, only light. That's why the Bible says the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. You see, the more you grab a hold of Jesus, the more you grab a hold of Him, the more the light will increase in your life. Remember last week I said, I don't know if I said it last week or if it's tomorrow, but you're going to get it now anyway. You see, the more you hang around somebody, the more you begin to sound like them. I have watched people, how they'll hang around together and suddenly the one will laugh like the other one. You know, you're laughing because it's you. Or they'll begin to walk the same way. Have you seen that? Or when they hang out a lot together, they laugh the same, or they begin to say things the same way. You see, when you begin to connect with Jesus, when you begin to connect with the Holy Spirit, that's exactly what happens to you. You begin to say what He says. You begin to think the way He thinks. You begin to act the way He acts. You begin to desire what He desires. Yeah, how many of you know that people hang out together, they didn't like pizza before, but now they like pizza because of their friend that likes pizza? You see, that's what begins to happen. That's why, you see, unless you've spent hours in worship, don't try and teach me how to worship. Because when you've been saturated in the presence of God and you begin to know what He likes, you begin to be sensitive to what He likes. You can tell all of a sudden He comes into the room and you just know. Listen, songs will affect you, and that's good because it'll touch your heart, break you down, open you up for His presence. But there are things that He likes too. Remember, I taught you worship is not really for us, although I do like what I like. But the truth is, worship is for Him. So we need to find out what He likes. What causes Him to say, oh, I have to respond to this? What causes heaven to stop? I've had moments in time where I've been praying and we've been worshiping or having a prayer meeting, and suddenly it feels like heaven pauses or something pauses, and all of a sudden we've been taken notice of. And all of a sudden in that moment, it might sound crazy to you, but I've seen it in the Spirit. All of a sudden everything shifts. Everything changes. The atmosphere moves, and that presence of God is now currently in the room. And when it happens, listen, it doesn't matter. The demons get really uncomfortable. They get really upset. Well, we don't want, okay. The fact of the matter is that it is the Feast of Tabernacles. And I want to challenge you during this feast. You can dance and shout and sing and praise and worship, but don't miss out on the light that has already come. And He came to completely remove your darkness. The thing in our lives that holds us back. That one thing, that those things, that He's come to remove it. It's not easy always. So what do? Just surrender to the light. Surrender to Jesus. I'm going to give you one more scripture, and then we're going to pray. Ephesians 5, verse number 8 says this. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. walk as children of light. I love this because he literally tells you, you were once, listen, you were not only in darkness, you were darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. How do we do that? We draw close to him. We draw near to him. We seek him. We seek his word. We seek his ways. His ways are better than our ways. More of him and less of us. Are you with me? That's how you do that. And it really starts with one basic thing, and that's surrendering. So it is the Feast of Tabernacles, and we're celebrating light. So let's give him an opportunity tonight to fill us up with his love, with his light, with his joy, with his peace. Many people have been going through all kinds of different things during this season. Maybe you've had a really difficult week. Well, guess what? Right now, it can all change. Right now, if you choose now to follow him, it can all change. I'm not going to do an altar call, but if you don't know Jesus, you need to give your life to him tonight. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, you need to give your heart to him tonight. If you've strayed away from Jesus, you need to come back to him tonight. If you haven't been walking with him the way that you should, come back to him tonight. Well, Pastor Alex, what do I need to do? You just have to cry out to him. Someone who's desperate, listen, the Bible assures us that he'll hear you. If you really mean business, if you really want him, if you really desire that light so that the darkness in your life will go. The darkness might be in all around you in your family. The darkness might be around you in your work. It might be an inner darkness that you're dealing with. But if you cry out to him tonight, the Bible tells us that he will give you light. In fact, he'll turn you into light. You will become light in the Lord.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.